Now, after the Magi had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling Judea in place of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. "He will be called a Nazarene." Two weeks ago, my sermon was titled, "Hush the Noise," a phrase from the original hymn, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear." The words go, "Oh, hush the noise, O you in strife, and hear the angels sing." A week ago, my sermon title was, "Be Born in Us Today." This is a phrase from another Christmas hymn, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," which reminds us that the Christmas story is way more than a story about a baby being born in Bethlehem, that birth that happened physically 2,000 years ago, happens spiritually in the hearts of believers every day. My sermon title on Christmas Eve was also from the hymn, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." "Great glad tidings" is a phrase about the joyful song of the angels that first Christmas night. But even with this great joy, I said on Christmas Eve, we cannot avoid the dark side of the story. To quote that sermon, "The baby born in Bethlehem was a bundle of joy, but he would also become a bundle of suffering." The Christmas story is a prelude to the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Today's gospel story includes a horrible account of the slaughter of innocent children 2 years and under. In all my years of pastoring, I've never heard anyone say, "I'm glad I get to preach about Herod's slaughter just a few days after Christmas." But really, it's right in line with what I've been saying for the last 2 weeks. As beautiful and as peaceful, as joyful and as hopeful as the Christmas story is, there's a dark side, the sad side. There's a painful side of Christmas. Today's sermon title, for the third time, is a phrase from the hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem, the hopes and fears of all the years. This hymn doesn't avoid the truth that there's darkness in the world. We sing that Jesus was born into a world of sin. In the hymn, we sing the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. The people of God had always hoped for a Savior, but they lived in fear. They lived in fear of suffering while they were waiting for the Savior to come. They longed for the Savior. They had the hope, but they had the fear. They had both. And when we sing about the hopes and fears of all the years, we're saying that the fears, the dark side of life, the pain, the suffering, don't get the last word, because the hope is always there. The fears are of the world. The hope is from God. And they are met in that newborn baby in Bethlehem. This birth enters into our hopes and fears. This Savior enters into our hopes and tears. This birth is bringing divine hope, the hope of salvation, into our fears. The hopes and fears meet when God becomes one of us. And hope wins. Divine hope overpowers the fears and the tears. 60 years ago, a Christmas song was written, not a hymn, Christmas song titled, The Most Wonderful Time of the Year. That might be true for some, but trust me, it's not true for everyone. For some, it's the most difficult time of the year. As an occasional songwriter, maybe someday I'll write some words for such a song. It's the most difficult time of the year. It might even turn up as a sermon title next year. You never know. While I was driving to church this morning, I heard a song I'd never heard before, and I have to research it. Butch, I know you're going to do this for me as well. There's words, and I wanted to write down some of the words. It was my sermon and song. It was talking about the difficult times. And there was a phrase in there, this will probably end up as a sermon title someday too, a storm-tossed hallelujah. It was a song about the struggles of life and the difficulties the singer was going through. But the singer was singing a storm-tossed hallelujah. I loved that. And I'm going to put a lot of thought into that. I'm going to find out where that song comes from. Well, preparing this sermon, my heart was deeply saddened as I thought about the slaughter of children. I thought of their parents. In fact, I did an online search asking the question, are children dying in the world today? I don't have to tell you that the answer wasn't pretty. We know that children are dying in today's world, needlessly. In fact, in 2025, about 5 million children died under the age of 5. Most of these deaths are preventable. What King Herod did was preventable. That slaughter was preventable. And in the same way, a lot of what's happening in today's world is preventable. Just imagine the fear and the grief of the parents in this past year of millions of infants. The world desperately needs hope to meet this suffering. The world desperately needs hope to meet the fears, to meet the grief in the world. The world desperately needs the hope that Christ came to bring. St. Paul wrote that there are three things that last: faith, hope, and love. And he says the greatest of these is love. I've spoken a lot about hope today, but love is the greatest. Jesus is God's love among us. Jesus gathers our hopes and fears, our hopes and tears, and transforms them into love. If the greatest part of life is love, and it is, that's where you and I come in. This Savior, born as a baby in Bethlehem, would later tell his disciples the night before he died, love one another. Love one another. He was about to give his life for the salvation of all people. And his basic teaching the night before was love one another. In the story we heard today, Joseph and Mary were in great danger. They certainly had great fear that their newborn baby would be murdered. So they fled to Egypt, and eventually they would end up in Nazareth. Now, Matthew doesn't give us a lot of details, but for those who know me, you know that I'm going to imagine a lot of details, unspoken details, unwritten details of this story. So I would suggest, first of all, that there had to be a lot of people helping Mary and Joseph get to Egypt. In fact, I imagine that they traveled to Egypt with a community, with family and friends. And I believe that when they returned from Egypt, they were traveling through the desert. They were coming back home. I believe that they had a lot of help and support. I believe they had a lot of love. When Moses brought the people back home from Egypt, took him and that community of believers 40 years. When Mary and Joseph came back, they had better directions. Only took about 4 years. Another Christmas hymn that I love is titled, O Holy Night. We sing about the bright, shining stars, but we also sing in that song about a world in sin. But into this sin comes, I love this phrase, a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. The final verse of that hymn, O Holy Night, begins, truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Pure and simple, this is the calling of the church, to preach this gospel of peace and to love one another. In the midst of fears, suffering, grief, what we do as church, what we do as believers, is we love one another. We feed one another. We help one another get across the dry, dangerous deserts of our lives. We show compassion to people. We're generous to those in need. We help family and friends. We participate in the homeless shelter, Project Dignity, the Good Gifts Christmas Tree Hunger Program, and so on. and so on. Love one another. This is our calling. We minister to the fears, the struggles, the grief in the world. And when we do that, we're doing God's work. We do it in our small corner of the world, and we spread out to do this ministry in the whole world. We do God's work by bringing hope to others, by loving one another. My dear friends, believe this. Whatever hopes you have right now, whatever fears, struggles, griefs are in your heart right now, as we heard from Isaiah, God is with you. These hopes and fears that you have are met in Christ the Lord. And with God being with you, that means there is love in your hearts. Let us pray. Think about your fears, stresses, illnesses, worries, griefs. And just for a moment, hush. Hush that noise. Think about the Savior born in your heart. And listen to the Savior's voice speaking to you right now. I am with you. Here I am. The Savior says to you, here is love.